Our president is now the third president officially impeached in the House of Representatives. And the next stop is going to Senate, where Democrats do not have the votes. So the whole thing, the whole masquerade, this whole extravaganza is going to die its natural death. Unfortunately, yesterday, actually, Trump was in Michigan, which is next state, very close to where we are. He gave a very impassioned speech, basically kind of like bring all the grievances, how unfair this whole process is, that, the Democratic Party wants to basically disenfranchise Americans from their democratic participation by, getting rid of their president, quote unquote, their president. So he kind of obviously talks in very divisive, divisive terminology, or us versus them. And they're, it's almost like, it sort of like reminds me of some of the early speeches of the late Weimar Republic by Adolf Hitler, Nazi Party, in a way, where they were almost harping in the same kind of very nativist, nationalist strand. But that said, since our political establishment is preoccupied with the impeachment, a lot of things are simply are not being done. And one of those things which are interesting enough, the so-called Afghanistan Papers, which came as a result of several different lawsuits filed by Washington Post reporter in order to actually get the idea of what our government really thinks in private about this whole assessment. And a few years ago, there was an effort of Office of the Inspector General for Reconstruction efforts to kind of look how all the money that was spent in Afghanistan were utilized. And as a result of this very kind of interesting internal accounting, I would say, process, there was this bunch of different researchers who went to a variety of different people, including in our top military establishment, to record some interesting and very candid interviews, how the whole idea of war in Afghanistan have transpired, how it was executed, and at the end of the day, what it led to. Foolishly enough, or maybe arrogantly enough, a lot of our people in Pentagon, who were the top military leaders, they're kind of on a on a high horse of building themselves some kind of degree of legacy, hoping at the time that maybe that there would be a positive outcome of Afghanistan venture. And the idea was just to create some kind of degree of honest accounting to what really happened throughout the process. What comes interestingly enough, a performance by our General Franks, who was chief of staff at the time, who was in charge of the Afghanistan and then later Iraq invasion, a very interesting and very candid descriptions of how the Bush administration and then Obama administration have taken over the mantle of the wars, have really bungled through and lied through, describing exactly what the purpose of the war was, what the execution was, what were the targets, what were the benchmarks. So what really came across this whole thing, and this took place, throughout the 3 years of legal battle, which Washington Post has taken upon itself, to have these recordings now and these transcripts released. It is a rather depressing picture because it's almost runs parallel to the very famous Pentagon Papers of 1960s, which were, at that time carried out on the building by Daniel Ellsberg, the famous American whistleblower. There's almost the same degree of arrogance, of ignorance, and degree of paralysis that encapsulates our top echelon of our politics and our military structure.
So what exactly does it say?
Well, it says basically the people, the accounts which were given to the public, specifically since 2005 on forward, are completely false. Specifically, narrative why our troops are in Afghanistan, what they're going to achieve, what is actually being done to the society, what is being done to to our society, that's why they're paying for all of this. And very candid internal interviews stating how the whole war effort was a complete waste of money, waste of life, waste of, there's complete lack of leadership to begin with. Without even understanding what the basis of our presence in the region really is. So this is a sort of a very comprehensive kind of look internally from the quote-unquote private policy versus public policy, what was communicated. And the degree of lying and deception which was sold out to the American public with the compliance of the American media is truly astounding. It's almost like parallel universe where certain degree of ideology and talking points being recycled by the U.S. media to the unwitting public, stating there's a quote-unquote, you know, the light at the end of a tunnel, that we're doing all the great things for the, you know, Afghani society, that, you know, we're building the country, where in fact the things were just completely opposite. It was a complete disaster in the making, almost from the get-go. And the more money was thrown into this whole thing, the more people were thrown in and military resources were thrown in, the more a quagmire, the more hopeless it really became. I look at this also at the timing where those things are being released right now, specifically vis-a-vis the impeachment, which means the news is basically buried. You really cannot really read it anywhere. You know, no major US media is really interested in this. But also, you have to also look at some internal dynamics, I think, within the deep state, which takes place, you know, in our country, is that it seems to me that specifically when it comes to the Washington Post, that I'm very skeptical and very suspicious of the motives here beyond just pure journalism here. Since Bezos bought the Washington Post and became one of the major subcontractors to the central intelligence agencies, Amazon, managing the right? clouds and a lot of different businesses. What's really interesting, it seems to me there's a kind of shift to blame Pentagon for a lot of things which are really kind of known in the past. Seem to be, I'm very suspicious about timing of this whole thing because, as you know, it seems to me there's a bit of an internal strife within our military / you know, national security establishment to degree to kind of blame the Pentagon for a lot of the decisions which took place on behest of the national security state and also behest of executive offices, let's say Bush and Obama. And because at the end of the day, Pentagon job is not to really rebuild the country or do nation building. You know, their business is defense and war, you know, making wars and winning the wars. So in a way, some of the extra responsibilities which were taken on the up to the Pentagon without its control or without its acquiescence in many different ways, kind of point to degree of internal turf war that's taking place in Washington right now. And the Afghanistan papers, I think, kind of are a little bit kind of reminiscent of this shifting of responsibility and turf war priorities for one side versus the other. And this also takes place.
And why would that be? Because, I mean, all the presidents look bad by it. I mean, it's not just Trump. It's also Obama and
of course, especially. I think part of it is simply optics and money, as you know, because at the end of the day, the very sober reading of this and all the analysis I've done, you know, with stuff has been released. Time allowing, of course, I've read a lot of stuff. It appears just like in the Vietnam War, that ultimately the war has been won by our military-industrial complex. Our army actually won the war because they're able to, you know, establish themselves firmly within a very clear grasp of economic priorities of any administration since Bush, George W. Bush. So in a way, anything they ask for and more, they got, you know, money, they got the resources, what have you. So the clear winner here is the military industrial complex, which basically says, well, maybe the war was a mistake. Maybe we bangled a few things, but it's like, well, this is the fact of life. Then, you know, we have to go on, end of story. However, I think if you look at our geopolitics and how things have kind of migrated, this so-called geopolitical strategy of pivot to Asia under Obama and such, there was much bigger emphasis put on special forces and our, you know, national security state to kind of migrate some of the responsibilities which traditionally was under Pentagon and military efforts into the so-called, you know, national security intelligence, you know, sphere. That's why, for example, right now in Syria, we still have a military presence there. But it's a military presence that's mostly composed of the special forces and special operations, not the standard, you know, Pentagon military stuff that you have seen traditionally in Iraq and Afghanistan doing all the grunt work.
Special forces are they're not part of the military?
Some of them are, some of them are not. This is the situation gets really murky here. CIA has been running its own, you know, military units. Actually, there's been a lot of talk in Washington about some of the technical capability to be start being migrated from the Pentagon military to the CIA sphere, because CIA wants to be a much more comprehensive fighting force, which traditionally this is kind of antithesis what intelligence is supposed to be about.